This year, California requires high school seniors to pass an exit exam before they get a diploma. And this week is the last chance to take that test if they hope to graduate with the rest of the class of 2006 this June. There was plenty of debate in the run-up to the decision to make the exam mandatory in California, a debate that's played out across much of the country. Nearly half the states have exit exams now, which usually focus on math and writing skills. Proponents argue that a high school diploma ought to be more than a certificate of attendance and that higher standards will force both students and schools to do better. Critics charge that it isn't fair to measure an education on the basis of a single test, especially one, they say, penalizes minorities and students with special needs. Exit exams have been around for years now, and there's still argument about whether they do what they're intended to do. Later in the program, our weekly visit with political junkie Ken Rudin on the president's political capital, primary elections in Illinois, and we'll talk with New York Republican Sherwood Bullard about his decision to retire from Congress. If you have questions for the political junkie, you can email us now, talk@npr.org. But first, high school exit exams. If you're a student, parent, or school official in a state with an exit exam, call and tell us if it helps or hurts. If your state doesn't require these tests, do you think they should? Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. Our first guest is NPR's Elaine Corey. She's been covering the story in California. She's with us from NPR's office in San Francisco. Nice to have you on the program, Elaine.
Good morning, Neil.
So is this exit exam causing some anxiety there?
It certainly is for an estimated 50 to 70,000 high school seniors who are taking it these past 2 days. It's a 7-hour test that spread over 2 days. And it's as you said, it's the last chance for these kids to pass if they want to graduate with the class of 06.
What happens if they don't pass?
Well, the superintendent of public instruction has laid out a couple of alternatives, none of them too palatable for these kids. They can either take the test again over the summer, and if they pass, they can get their diploma before September, or they can repeat a year of high school, something none of them are looking forward to, or in some cases, they can go on and take community college courses, but only while they're continuing to study to pass a test.
And as I understand it, the test was administered but not required over the past 2 years. What was the debate like to make it a requirement?
Well, I think that the opponents of the test have argued that California's education is very. There are some real inequities there. You have a class of students who have gone to the poorest schools. They've had the least experienced teachers. Often they've been taught math by teachers who are uncredentialed. And there's a strong argument made that these kids who have been showing up for 4 years, passing their courses, to deny them a diploma now in that context is unfair.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a lobby on behalf of special education students. And they actually succeeded this year and getting a 1-year reprieve for that group of students. They won't be required to pass the exam this year.
Now, how tough is this test?
It's really not that tough. It's been said that it tests 9th or 10th grade English and 8th or 9th grade math. And the threshold for passing it isn't that high. Students only have to get slightly more than half of the questions correct. So, you know, it's the math portion, which a lot of kids seem to have a lot of trouble with. It's pre-algebra. You know, it's things like square roots and those dreaded if a train leaves Penn Station at 8 a.m. kind of mm-hmm. kinds of questions. But it's not that difficult.
It sounds a lot more like arithmetic than algebra.
Correct. Okay. And in fact, I mean, employer groups and some educators say the test ought to be much more rigorous than it is now.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And Tasha joins us now from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes. Hi. I'm diagnosed a high-functioning autistic and nonverbal learning disorder. And Arizona has a test called the AIMS, which is now required for graduation. And I've tried taking that exam. I would not have passed it. But I have a bachelor's degree, and I speak Arabic and a couple other languages fairly fluently.
So you're suggesting that the test is shouldn't be taken as the sole measurement of one's education?
Well, that, and quite frankly, if I couldn't get a high school degree, then I wouldn't have been able to get a college diploma as well. It would have denied me access to a high-paying job, to future education, and quite a bit of other things, while not even measuring my potential as a worker in the modern environment.
And you've taken your degrees and managed to make a living with them?
To a degree, yeah. I'm actually working in special education now. Certain political things have kept me from working in my field of interest, including the fact that, quite frankly, as an autistic, I can't handle politics terribly well, but oh well.
Oh well. Congratulations, Tasha, on your achievements. Thanks very much for the phone call, too.
Thank you. Have a good day.
And Elaine Corey, I assume that people like Tasha were part of the argument that you mentioned in California. There were people with special needs saying we ought to put this off at least for a year.
Exactly. And they were able to win a one-year reprieve. I think the issues are going to come back next year, however, because, you know, the context hasn't changed dramatically. And one of the things that's controversial in California is, unlike in other states, there's no alternative in California. It's this test. Whereas in other states, if you don't pass a test, perhaps you can complete a special project, or you can figure out some other way to demonstrate that you've mastered the material that you need to know out of high school. But in California, the only way that you can demonstrate that is through this one standardized test.
And I've read some estimates that as many as 40,000 students or so are expected to fail.
That's correct. It could be anywhere from 10 to 15% of the class of 06. And, you know, unfortunately, they won't know until mere weeks before graduation, because the results from this latest round of tests won't be in until mid to late May.
Elaine Corey, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Neil.
NPR's Elaine Corey joining us from the NPR office in San Francisco. To give you an idea of some of the questions on the California test, we've picked out a few sample questions. One math question. John uses 2/3 of a cup of oats per serving to make oatmeal. How many cups of oats does he need to make 6 servings? 2 2/3, 4, 5 1/3, 9. It's multiple choice. Here's an English question. The green backpack has blank pockets than the blue one, and the choices are least, less, fewer, and fewest. You're again asked to make multiple choices between those. Proponents of exit exams believe they preserve the value of a diploma. Joining us now is Jay Green, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research. He's with us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for coming in today.
Well, thanks for having me on.
The concerns we're hearing from California, and really the whole structure of the debate, that isn't new. It's been around the country for some time now.
That's true. More than half of the states now require passage of some sort of test to receive a regular high school diploma. And this movement is spreading because, frankly, employers and institutions of higher learning no longer trust a regular high school diploma, that it represents a set of skills. Mm-hmm. And so the test has been added as a guarantee that students who graduate also possess the skills that they're supposed to.
And, you know, I guess the concern is that it creates winners. People with diplomas have a more meaningful diploma, but it also creates losers.
Well, not very many. Frankly, the number of students who are prevented from graduating solely because they can't pass an exit exam is quite small in most states. Most states who can't pass the exit exams are also unable to complete the other requirements of graduation, like taking a certain number of courses in particular subjects and receiving the appropriate grades. Mm-hmm. And so to say that this is the one requirement ignores, in fact, that it's one of many requirements to graduate. Similarly, a student who's unable to pass classes in reading or in math and can't receive the appropriate number of credits also cannot graduate. The difference is that we no longer trust, because of severe grade inflation, that the grades in those courses are meaningful and that passing those courses alone guarantees that students possess skills. So we've added a test in many states to try to improve our confidence in these diplomas.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Suzanne. Suzanne's calling us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I teach high school English here in Phoenix, Arizona, and I've seen the test many times, and some callers have said that it's too difficult,
mm-hmm.
but really it measures a set of basic standards. It's not intense. It's not very difficult. But at least in Arizona, the writing portion is generally a 5-paragraph essay. And I'm fully in support of it. I think that it's important to keep our standards high. It's important to keep the students and teachers accountable. And it's important that when a kid graduates and has a diploma, that it means something.
Mm-hmm.
So at least out here in Arizona, I can speak for some teachers, and it's not a very popular viewpoint because we have a lot of English language learners, and that's a difficult problem to overcome. But I would say that if a student can't necessarily pass the test, then maybe their skills should be reassessed. I do think a diploma should mean something.
Suzanne, it sounds like what you're saying is that they can't pass the writing portion, at least of the test there in Arizona. They might not have been able, shouldn't have been, maybe graduated from 10th grade, much less 12th.
Well, exactly. And a previous person was talking about grade inflation and all those various pressures on grades, and that is the case. Many times students can make it through high school without mastering the concept they really should have mastered due to a variety of pressures. And so I do think the test is a good measure, and it's important to keep it in place. And also, if I can add, it's important not to water it down with a lot of exceptions. If you give every other student out because of some mm-hmm. exception that they have, it reduces the meaning of the overall exam, and it kind of loses the point.
I wonder, though, have you had kids who are either bad testers or kids you thought were promising who for one reason or another didn't pass this exam and wondered what happened to them?
Well, it's a problem we're just starting to face right now in Phoenix, or in Arizona in general, because the test is a new test. And our graduating class this year is the first one that's going to have to pass it to receive their diploma. So it's a problem we have not overcome yet. But students do receive, I believe, 5 or 6 opportunities to take and retake the test between the time they first take it as sophomores and the time that they would graduate as seniors.
Suzanne, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We're talking today about high school exit exams, and we'll come back from the break and take more of your calls. Our number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. You can also send us questions by email, talk@npr.org. We'll be joined by Monty Neal of the Center for Fair and Opening Testing when we return. I'm Neal Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neal Conan in Washington. In Ohio, it's called the graduation test. In California, it's the high school exit exam. In Massachusetts, it's the comprehensive assessment system. More and more states are requiring high school students to pass a special test before awarding them a high school diploma. Today, we're talking about the merits of such tests. Our guest is Jay Green, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research. Of course, you're invited to join us. Our number is 800-989-8255, and our email address is talk@npr.org. Let's get quickly to another caller. This is Elizabeth. Elizabeth calling another caller from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, I am calling from Phoenix. The Ames test is a test. I just can't stand the thing. I have 4 kids in the public school system, actually 2 still in, 1 at the University of Arizona right now. And these kids start taking this test in the 3rd grade. They take the test in other grades all the way up, and the amount of time my children spend taking Ames tests is ridiculous. It's changed the curriculum in their classrooms. I also run a mentoring program for low-income students from 5th through 12th grade. I see it across the board. And honestly, I don't like the change it's made. I loved the school my older kids went through in elementary school and junior high, and I do not like the curriculum I'm seeing my youngest daughter participating in as an 8th grader. And my 11th grade daughter is in the high-end international baccalaureate program. Can't stand the Ames test either. It doesn't measure her knowledge. She's quite successful as a student, and she, has passed her Ames, and now she spends, a few days off of school for, 2 weeks of a year, Kate, or 3 weeks of a year, while other kids repeatedly take their Ames test to try to pass the thing.
So she's effectively not being taught, you said, while other kids are being taught to the test.
Yes.
All right.
Exactly.
All right. Elizabeth, thanks very much.
Sure.
Appreciate the phone call. Let's introduce now Monty Neal, who's with us also here in Studio 3A. He's the executive director of Fair Test, the National Center for Fair and Open Testing in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So what's wrong with exit exams?
There are several major flaws with the whole approach to exit exams. They are too narrow instruments and often flawed for the basis of high-stakes decisions like whether a student graduates. Students are not being given learning opportunities and then held accountable for results. The California situation is we have terrible schools in places where the state has and district has fundamentally underfunded those schools. The kids have not learned the things, indeed, they ought to learn, mm-hmm. but now they're the ones that take the heat for it and get punished. And we should, in fact, build a system of supporting the students first before any particular specific outcomes like this. But those specific outcomes should be evaluated using multiple measures, not just one test.
And
the other big problem is what your last caller talked about, which is we are turning, instead of educating the whole child to be active participants in a democracy, we're turning many of our schools into test prep programs. And those tests aren't good enough to bear the weight of controlling curriculum and instruction. So we are actually endangering instead of improving the quality of many of our schools around the country. We have not got a careful strategy to improve the schools that really need improvement. And then we're putting accountability substantially on the backs of the children. It's a deeply irrational system.
But if the choice is some standards or no standards,
one can implement standards on schools and begin to go in and say, what do you need to make sure that from the start on, the kids are progressing at a good rate? Put in the support systems to help the kids who are not progressing so that when they get to high school and along the way, they've made reasonable and good progress. Mm-hmm. And then you use a multiple set of indicators to make a decision about whether that kid has made sufficient progress. We're now saying to kids where the most essential piece of paper in many ways, aside perhaps from citizenship, that you can actually have in this country is a high school diploma. And we're saying to kids, we didn't fund you adequately. We didn't give you the support. You went and did your up into the bargain. Tough luck, we're pulling the diploma away from you. That's not either a necessary or a fair way to go about improving the schools. It is better to be a kid who lacks skills and has a diploma than to be a kid who lacks skills and doesn't have a diploma. That's not a good situation. But instead of putting it on the kids to solve that equation, let's put it on the system to solve that equation and then hold the kids fairly accountable.
Jay Green, I see you shaking your head.
Well, I think this is the Wizard of Oz approach to high school education. The idea is that if we give the kids a piece of paper that they become more skilled, like the scarecrow. But it doesn't work that way in life. The way it actually works in life is that people with skills are more successful than people without. And so what we're trying to do in education is to improve people's skills. And unless we measure those skills in some rigorous way, objective mm-hmm. way, and unless we attach consequences to possessing those skills or not possessing those skills, we won't get people to meet those standards. And the idea of multiple measures just gets us back into the realm of that we were in before. Mm-hmm. We're, by the way, for many kids, for half of our kids nationwide who are African-American or Hispanic, they're not graduating high school. So the situation may be fine for some high-end kids, but for a lot of kids, our high schools are failing. And the only way we can get them to improve is by measuring results and attaching consequences to those results.
But what about what Monty Neal said? Why should kids, students, have to pay for lousy schools?
Well, the kids also benefit when they pass. So in particular, when it comes to African-American and Hispanic students who currently graduate high school, employers currently do not pay them more than the students who do not graduate high school who are African-American and Hispanic. Except in exit exam states, employers will pay a high school graduate more than a non-high school graduate who's African-American or Hispanic. In other words, the employers won't reward the high school diploma unless there's an exit exam guaranteeing that it actually means something.
All right, let's get some more listeners on the line. This is Jade. Jade is calling us from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yes, I am currently a recent graduate. I graduated in 2004, and I had to take the exit exam in Dothan, Alabama. My comment is that I think that is a wonderful idea. I graduated, and I did pass the exam. They gave me enough fair opportunities to take it and then also helped me to succeed so that I can pass it by the time I graduated. There were high school students that I went to school with that did not know how to read correctly, and they were a senior, 17 years old. I think that it's very important that they require this exit exam in all states. Of course, they need to have some type of fair program where they can actually help them study, whether it be out of school or in class, for the exit exam before they have to take it, though.
And it sounds to me like you've got a measure of real pride from passing this test and from getting that diploma.
I really do, and I have really excelled. I have skills, and I'm very, very proud of the fact that I'm at a nice high level of my education. Now I'm in college, and I'm still doing well. But I feel for my fellow students, my peers that did not graduate, but they didn't take the time and effort. There were teachers passing them that, knew that they could not read,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't help them. And I think that it just shows the lack of opportunities that the students have, but also at the same time, they get into the root of the problem. They're saying that these students don't need to graduate, and then, employers don't trust those degrees.
Jade, thanks very much for the call, and continued good luck to you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Monty Neal, she puts the case very well. She passed. She's now doing well, but she does say that some people were left behind.
We know kids in Massachusetts who tried really hard, many of them were special needs kids, who didn't get a diploma simply because of the test. They might have had an older sibling with a similar problem who's now in college, yet the kid who doesn't pass the test doesn't go to college. There's a set of issues here, obviously, that, mm-hmm. that are complex to disentangle here. One is, how do you improve schools? I would argue that the preponderance of evidence has now come out from researchers shows you don't really improve schools by focusing on standardized tests. What you do is you boost the test scores on the test that you teach to, but when you use independent measures, you don't find the results. Texas has been, for example, a serious indicator of that. According to the TOS test, the gap got closed between blacks and whites, blacks and Latinos on one side and whites on the other side. But when you look at the new test it put in and the NAEP test, you find out that wasn't true. In fact, the gap had gotten wider, and the Texas Higher Ed Authority said they had more need for remediation, not less. This is after the high school exit exam went in.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways to go about improving schools. Congratulations to this young woman for getting her diploma. And indeed, we have a problem where schools are often letting kids slide. What we are arguing for is, let's get the kinds of evidence out of the school to make sure the schools are not letting them slide. But let's also get the evidence to make sure that the schools have themselves what they need to work with all the kids. What the California lawsuit showed, that was the basis of mm-hmm. part of our discussion, is that there are horrendous inequities and kids are not being taught what they need. Again, a child who gets that diploma is better off, all else equal, than without it. And with all due respect to Jay, the evidence I've seen is generally having that diploma is a critical difference for your life chances and your income.
Well, let's give Jay a chance to respond. And he's right. There have been some analyses that do show that the standardized test results are illusory.
Well, actually, we have a study that's just posted on Teacher College Record where we compared the results of high and low stakes tests that were given to 9% of all public school students nationwide. And no one has an incentive to teach to, cheat on, or otherwise manipulate the low stakes tests. These are things like the Iowa Test of Basic Skills or the Stanford 9 that were given at the same time to the same kids. As it turns out, the results of those two tests correlate really well. And so whatever teaching to is occurring with high-stakes tests is good. Basically, what's happening is it's guiding our teachers, our school system, telling them what it is that we want them to cover. So rather than teachers covering whatever they may happen to like, which may or may not be the skills that students need to succeed in life, what the test is helping do is informing school systems about what it is they need to cover. And when schools are teaching to those tests, they're actually teaching the skills that students need.
Here's an email question. This from Andy. Good afternoon. If the student should fail this test, wouldn't that trigger a higher dropout rate among students?
The data is Jay is right. The great majority of the kids who fail these tests are not doing well in school to start with, but there is a slice of students for whom it is clear it has propelled them to, the failure on the test seems to have propelled them to drop out. There's also some evidence that we gathered in Massachusetts that the dropouts are leaving earlier, and they're partly also dropping out because the grade retention is going up, and grade retention is a very powerful predictor of increased likelihood of dropping out. So there is some effect. Now, it's interesting that in this debate you have both the argument that we need higher level tests, and because they're low level, people aren't dropping out. I think the clear implication is that if the level on those tests gets more difficult, you'll have fewer people passing them and a greater dropout, at least in the short run. But I really have to add one other thing. These tests, go look at them. The Massachusetts test, the Texas test, and some others, they're on websites. You can publicly look at them. All states should put them out there. They don't. Go look at them. They are simply not a serious measure of what our kids actually need to learn and be able to do. I've taken them. I've looked at them. Independent panels in Massachusetts and New York have looked at them. They really aren't very good tests, and they certainly don't meet what our kids need to know to succeed in college. Now, if we want to improve the quality, we have to go improve the quality of the actual teaching and learning, use better measures. But again, there's no need to make it narrow, high stakes.
We're talking about exit exams for high school, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Scott. Scott's calling us from Mannheim in Germany.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, here in Germany, we don't have standardized tests for the whole country, but we have them for each state. In the state I live in, Baden-Württemberg, for example, you have to be able to recognize three of the Beethoven symphonies in order to pass the high school test. Would be curious to see what your panel thinks of that, and what do people really need to know?
And what do people really need to know? I'm not sure that I could pass the Beethoven Symphony test, but if it's Gershwin, I might do better. Jay Green, what do people really need to know?
Well, this is why we have 50 different states, and different countries have different tests. And so each state gets to decide for itself what it thinks its students need to know. Mm-hmm. And frankly, in Germany, perhaps it's quite important to know how to recognize certain symphonies. And so we allow that kind of flexibility by having a lot of different tests based on each community's particular needs. One thing I want to respond to that Monty was saying earlier is that we're not sufficiently giving resources to schools, and then how can we hold them accountable if we're not giving them sufficient resources? It's important to point out that we have actually doubled per-pupil spending, adjusted for inflation, over the last 30 years. So we're now spending more than $10,000 per pupil. And during this time, test scores have been flat. Graduation rates have been flat. So we've been trying this tack for a long time, and it's now time, I think, to try something different.
All right. Scott, thanks very much. The only thing I can tell you is da-da-da-da, that's the fifth.
Okay. You win.
Appreciate the phone call.
Okay.
Let me put this question to you, Monty Neal, email question from Ryan Levinson in San Diego. How do the GED and exit exam compare? If a student can take the GED for an equivalency diploma, can they take the exit exam early to get an actual diploma? Which exam is harder? And if the GED is harder, then how can the difference be reconciled, considering the end result to the student is essentially the same, i.e. completion of high school?
Well, one, the GED economic review showed the GED is simply not as valuable as a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly why that's the case is a matter of debate, but it seems pretty clear that's now true. The GED was recently made more difficult. As to whether it is more difficult than the high school exit exam, you have to do a state-by-state comparison. It may be more difficult than some and easier than others.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't think any such study has been done. It's very difficult to do because you can't just simply look at the questions. You'd have to give these different tests to different people.
Different groups of people, but
you'd probably pay them to spend their time doing it. So,
would you say they're roughly equivalent, Jay?
Yeah, I agree with Monty that I don't think anyone precisely knows, and it may be that in some states it's harder, in some states it's easier. The fact that it's not the same difficulty to receive a high school diploma everywhere in the country, and in fact in every school, is okay. Again, it reflects some variation in local standards. And so I'm not too troubled by the fact that the GED may not be exactly the same as exit exams.
Mm-hmm. Another quick email, this from Shara in New York. With special needs learning disabled children, is there some discussion of allowing these kids extra time to complete the exam? Are they allotted the same amount of time to complete it? And does a student's score appear on his or her permanent school record, or is it merely pass-fail? And I guess that would vary from state to state as well.
There are a lot of requirements under the disability rights laws that students are supposed to be given the kinds of accommodations they get during instruction. In fact, they often are not, and this has led to the basis of several lawsuits. That decision in California your reporter referred to at the beginning of the broadcast, that legislative action was taken in response to a court decision. And in fact, the people are back in court because they are arguing, you know, on several different grounds, the unfairness to the kids and the lack of resources and the lack of accommodations in some cases are all issues at play in whether or not to use that test for students in California with disabilities.
And I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, but want to thank our guests. You just heard from Monty Neal, Executive Director of Fair Test, and we also had Jay Green with us, a Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research. They were kind enough to join us here in Studio 3A. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
When we come back from a short break, pro-Hillary Republicans, anti-Lieberman Democrats, and the president's political capital, how much is left in the bank? Political junkie Ken Rudin will tie it all together. If you have a political question for us, our number 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.